We have two readings this morning. The first is from Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 12. Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. A people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And our second reading is from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
We're in this series called Living According to God's Design. That sense that God has a plan for us. A perfect way for us. And I've said to you that as I am well into my 60s now, I recognize over my life there have been many times when I've actually chosen a different path, thinking that it was either easier or more convenient. And each time I've done that, I've regretted it. And so I keep coming back to this thing, Lord, show me how you want me to live today. Show me how you want our family to be. And this morning, we're going to be looking at preaching and prophecy. Well, actually, we're actually only going to be looking at prophecy. I'm going to come on to preaching again. But as we journey through Matthew together, we see the emphasis of preaching and prophecy is everywhere. We started with the charismatic figure of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. And here in Matthew 4 and also in Luke 4, we see the emphasis of preaching and prophecy in the ministry of Jesus. I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 4, where Jesus quotes these words from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim or preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim, preach freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." What a gospel we have. That's our message. It's about people setting people free. The church has got a bit of a reputation of closing people down, of locking them in. Where actually what Jesus, through his Spirit, wants to do is set us free, set the captives free, just enable us to fly like eagles. And my prayer for us as a church, that increasingly for us, those of us who call ourselves Christians, or those of us who are still inquiring about the Christian faith, that we would know freedom more and more. What a message we have. Teaching and preaching, of course, is well known to us, especially in our tradition, in the Baptist tradition, but especially here at TABS. I thank God for those who've gone before me, for Roger and for John, who faithfully preached God's word and encouraged us to get into God's word. Sue and I have really enjoyed, as we were seeking God about whether or not we should come to Tabs, what the Lord was saying, that we would come in and join in with your services online. And we could see that there are so many of you in this church who are gifted with preaching. And some of you are here this morning, some of you are out teaching elsewhere. So I thank God for those who want to make God's word accessible to other people. I don't know where I'd be, frankly, without God's word. It's a rare morning where I don't get up and I just spend time with Jesus opening his word. I can't imagine a day without that. But as I say that, I'm very conscious that the tradition, the Baptist tradition of actually getting into God's word is something historical. And I think that's something that I want to plead with you. Let's get back into that daily habit of coming before God on our knees or whatever metaphor we want to be able to use. But just come and say, Lord, would you teach us through your word? Prophecy is what I'm going to be emphasizing this morning. And we see it weaved into the tapestry of Jesus' ministry. Let me quote to you from Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, and again, what a sad statement that was. This great man of God put in prison. We live in evil days, but there were evil days back then. He returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this is the word, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. You see, Jesus' life was orchestrated by these plans that were hatched before the creation of the world. And what Jesus was doing was attuning himself to what already had been foreordained, the prophetic word about his life. And I'm going to suggest to you there is a prophetic word over your life from Jesus himself. And our role and our responsibility is to be listening to what Jesus is saying, saying, Lord, I'm going to go in that direction. In Luke's account that we read earlier, quoting from Isaiah, he says this in verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is what? Fulfilled in your hearing. See, prophecy, all the prophetic words, which is actually seen its climax in Jesus, this fulfillment of the prophetic, is everywhere. I'm just going to quote from J.C. Ryle, one of my favorite authors. I think it's coming up. I hope you can see it. Jesus came to fulfill the predictions of the prophets, who had long foretold that a Savior would one day appear. He came to fulfill the ceremonial law by becoming the great sacrifice for sin to which all the Old Testament offerings had ever pointed. He came to fulfill the moral law by yielding to its perfect obedience, which we could never have yielded, and by paying the penalty for our breaking of it with his atoning blood, which we could never have paid. So the fulfillment of Christ's life these prophecies that we see and the fulfillment of Jesus in them is really important. Of course, the redemptive story is absolutely primary. But secondly, I want us to acknowledge that God speaks. God spoke through many and various people over hundreds of years, and Jesus was the fulfillment of those words that were spoken. But here's the remarkable thing. God still speaks. Every morning, I just picture it, as Jesus got up, he would talk to his Father and expect to hear from him. I picture him saying, good morning, Father. Thank you for the gift of another day. What adventure have you got in store for me today? What do you want from me today? And I wrote down here, can you imagine what our lives would look like if we prayed that prayer every morning? I remember we hadn't long been married. Sue had come to know Jesus. We were up in the beautiful industrial garden town of Scunthorpe. Okay. Hey, come on. Give me a hallelujah there. I tell you what, whenever I mention Scunthorpe, people go, oh, that sounds grim. And of course, there were grim parts. It's called the Steelworks, actually. But they were beautiful gardens. And Sue came to know Jesus shortly after we got married. And it was just so transformational. And as Sue came to prayer in the morning, she got into the habit of praying this prayer. She said, "Lord, would you help me today to meet people who you're preparing to come into the kingdom?" It's a pretty advanced prayer for a new Christian, isn't it? She's always been a bit like that. And I have a word with Sue over coffee later. Time and again, Sue would come home and say, "Never guess what? Never guess what? I had this amazing conversation today." Well, what a chance. See, the thing is, when we expect God to do things, it's amazing how often he does that. I just want to extend that a little bit more. There's a man who's been quite significant in my life and in Sue's life. His name's Charles Price. He used to be the principal at Cape and Ray Bible School. And he was telling me that for months and months, he used to go out into Hereford Town Centre and hand out tracts. And he'd hand out tens and scores of these tracts. And then he'd get so disheartened because he'd find further down the pathway that people had just thrown them. And he's feeling a little bit dejected by this. And so he started to pray, "Lord, would you help me to bump into people that you're preparing?" That kind of prayer that Sue was praying. Well, lo and behold, he told this story about he was driving around the narrow lanes in Hereford. And that's what he did. He literally bumped into somebody. And he got out of the car. Thankfully, it was a low speed collision. And so he got out and he said to the lady, "I'm so sorry." And they both said, you know, it was a blind corner, so they were both at fault. And anyway, he said to this lady, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I don't live very far away." She said, "But I wouldn't mind," she said, "if you just follow me, because I feel a bit shaky." So he followed her to this farm. She got out of the car. She said to him, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And he wasn't Welsh, but he actually said, "Yes, I'd love a cup of tea." And so he went into the farmhouse, and what he discovered, well, there's this prayer that he prayed about, "Lord, please help me to bump into somebody." She was seeking. And before they finished the Barabrith, right, he'd led her to the Lord. All of those hours spent out on the street, I'm not decrying that, I think there is a place for street ministry, but he then changed the prayers, "Lord, would you please," but he changed the wording now, because it was beginning to get quite expensive evangelism. "Lord, would you lead me into meeting somebody?" It's a beautiful story, and what he was doing, he was saying, that's what happened when we engage with God. You see, because God speaks. Just one little story on that. We came across something called Free Will October. Okay? I don't know if you've heard it. But in October, apparently, you can get a free will. All right? And so we found out about this. I think it was the Martin Lewis money expert thing and whatever. So I said to Sue, "If it's free, I'm going to go for it." Because the last time we actually prepared a will was years ago when the children were really little. So we needed to update it. So there was a list of 5 or 6 solicitors that you could contact. And, of course, we didn't know any of them. And I just said, "Sue," I said, "I'm not quite sure who to approach." And we just thought, well, let's just pray. "Lord, just guide us to the right solicitor." And I want to be really practical. The way I found out who the right solicitor was, I thought I could get parking for that particular solicitor was, okay? So I actually ended up going to a solicitor in Gibalva. Well, it was so funny because we went in there and they were very careful to say that the free will was only for a simple will. I said, "Look at us. We're simple." I said, "It's okay. It'll be free." And she said, no. She said, "It means it can't be complicated." I said, "We're not complicated." So anyway, after about 15 minutes, she said, "You really are simple, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, we are." So we had a free will. How wonderful, fantastic Free Will October. Within 15 minutes of being with that lady, it became very obvious that she was seeking Jesus. We finished the will part of it within half an hour and a half later, we're still there talking about Jesus. At the end of it, she said to me, "Is there an alpha course that you could recommend?" See, somebody else had been preparing the way, hadn't they? I said, we're running an alpha course in a couple of months' time. She said, "Can I sign up, Rich?" I said, no. I said, we don't accept solicitors. I said, yes, of course you can come. And that was going to be in the January. But then, of course, we had the Christmas services. And she said, could I possibly come to your Christmas services and bring my family? And that wasn't a clever prayer. That was just, Lord, would you guide us to the solicitor that we need to be speaking to? Guys, we don't have to have all these complicated sentences to actually get through to the throne of grace. It's just a heart cry. It says, Lord, would you speak to me today? But I want to say to you that if you are asking God to speak to you, you better be prepared to be interrupted. And for your plans to go a little bit squiff. Okay? A little bit later in Matthew, we find this. And you see this in Jesus' ministry all of the time. Okay? So there's no great... I'm a list person. Anybody a list person? Okay? I don't think Jesus was a list person. His only thing on the list was, I'm going to go out today, Lord, and you put people in my way. I think that's what was on the list. Because this is what we find time and again with Jesus. It says, while he was talking with John's disciples, a synagogue ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. It was as he was talking. No plans. Jesus got up and went with her, and so did his disciples. And then in verse 20 he says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. You see, he was going on his way to something and something else happened. And so instead of Jesus saying, well, I'm ever so sorry, but I'm on a mission here. I've got to go and get to that. He was prepared again to allow his plans to be interrupted. Later on in verse 27, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. Prepared again to be interrupted. In verse 32, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. I hope you're getting my point. That when we ask God to speak to us, we better be prepared to change our plans or our agenda. So this is the question. I think it's coming up there, Ant. Can God interrupt our plans? Now, you might be the most devout evangelical believer, but that makes no difference. Because sometimes we're so focused on what we are going to do for God, we forget to listen to what God wants us to do for him. Are we too busy getting on with the stuff we think we need to get on with? I wonder how many amazing adventures I've missed out on because I wasn't prepared to be interrupted. Well, Dave, you might say, what's this got to do with prophecy? Well, it's got everything to do with prophecy because prophecy is about God speaking into your life. I believe God speaks to us all of the time. And as you know, I have a very high view of Scripture. I said right at the beginning of this message, I don't know where I'd be without God's Word. I pray for me that I would get into God's Word more and more, as I pray for you that you'll get into God's Word more and more. And so it is my source of nourishment. It is my plumb line. It's my entry, if you like, into the beauty of who Jesus is. And as a man of God, if I've got any chance of becoming more like Jesus, it's by me studying the character of Jesus in his word, in the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New. But as high as a view I have of Scripture, I'm conscious that God speaks to us in other ways as well. Who can forget the visions that Daniel had? Another godly man. But God spoke to him so often through visions. And then what about Joseph and the Christmas story? I find it so hilarious that God only ever speaks to him when he's asleep. What is that? Perhaps he was just too busy and too preoccupied when he was awake. Where are the nails? Where are the screws? I can't find my router. I don't think they had routers back then, by the way. So that's lost on a lot of you. I'm sorry about that. Carla will explain it to you a bit later. He spoke to people in visions. Peter, Cornelius, spoke to people in trances. And I'm very aware that whenever you speak about things like this, evangelicals get very nervous. Because they go, it sounds a bit spooky. We serve a supernatural God who expects us to be naturally supernatural. And he also expects us to be supernaturally natural. If we find this a little bit, have we appointed the right minister kind of moment? The Apostle Paul had the same kind of issue. Let me take you to some scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says, do not quench the spirit, which is so easily done within church, by the way. Verse 20, do not treat prophecies with contempt. This was written 2,000 years ago. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. This is how the NLT puts it. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. So this is the question I've put up here, hopefully, and if it comes up. Do you expect God to speak to you? I think that's a pretty good question, don't you? Do you expect God to speak to you? See, one of the prayers I've got for our Sunday morning, by the way, it's becoming very unfashionable to have this kind of Sunday worship. Well, not in my heart, it isn't. I believe in what we're trying to do on a Sunday morning. I want to see this place absolutely rammed with people who are coming expectant to hear what God is going to say to them through song, through prayer, through word, through all manner of things, and also through the preacher. Yeah? See, God wants to speak to us. But the question is do you expect God to speak to you? And then the second part of this is, do you expect God to speak through you? I just thank God for the number of times that God has used another person to speak into our lives. Sometimes words of correction. And you know, words of correction are powerful when they come from somebody you know that they love you. So they're not just trying to put you down or belittle you. There's nothing godly in that. But where you've got people who will keep you accountable, and dear me, all of us need to be kept accountable, that is a beautiful thing. But other times when God has spoken to somebody and actually just helped confirm what something that's been bubbling up in your own spirit. So do you expect God to speak to you? That's a huge question. And then do you expect God to speak through you is equally important. See, we won't expect God to speak through us if we're not expecting him to speak to us. So what is prophecy? Here's some thoughts on prophecy that I've found helpful. Hopefully they're up on the screen. This is from a guy called Frederick Dale Bruner. What a great name. He's a theologian. Prophecy is felt to be spontaneous and direct spiritual communication. It is not to be confused with preaching or prepared remarks, although I do believe that preaching should be prophetic, where the substance is obtained by more conventional or indirect means than immediate inspiration. The Spirit delivers his mind and heart spontaneously and directly to the assembly through his prophets. Mike Richards, in his book, Hearing God's Voice, says, a supernatural ability that God gives to believers to receive a message disclosed by him. This primarily, but not exclusively, is an immediate or spontaneous message that is communicated in diverse manners. All of us here, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're seeking to follow him, all of us here are able to hear from God. And one of my prayers for us as a church is that as we come together, that we will hear from God through one another. That there will be more and more opportunities for us to be able to hear in the service what God is saying, yes, through his word, but also through his people. Some years back, Sue and I went to a church down in the Fulham area, in Parsons Green, actually. It was a little period in my life when I wasn't well. There was something wrong physically. I wasn't right. Emotionally, I was struggling. We must be going back, what, 10, 12 years? I can't remember, love. Something like that. A good friend of ours said, well, look, why don't you go to this conference in Fulham? And so we went to it. And within the conference, there was a strong emphasis on prophecy and of words of knowledge from the Lord. And on this one particular occasion, there were different nights. I think they were there for three nights. So on the second night, this let me set the scene. So you would go forward for prayer, all right? And in this prayer time, they would reveal to you sin in your heart. Okay? I thought, well, that's not going to be much of a cue. Because the night before, there was loads of people waiting to go and have these prayers. Well, anyway, that night, there was a massive queue. Now, why would there be a massive queue? Because I tell you what, if you love Jesus, you want to make sure that things are pointed out that might be getting in the way of your walk. Don't you agree? And if it's done in a safe and a proper way, and so we went. And long story short, there were lots of different cubicles, and the way that people would do it is that you would sit there, and there would be three people, and they'd have a notepad on their lap, and they would start writing things or drawing things that they thought were pertinent to your life. Okay? It's really quite scary. I'm sat there, but actually what I'm praying is, Lord, would you show them anything that's actually holding me back? Would you please, Lord, just reveal to them something that might be going on in my life that I'm not aware of? And one after another, because this happened for about 20 minutes, and then they'd start comparing notes, and they'd say, oh yeah, that's what I've got, and whatever. And I'm thinking, well, show me then, show me. And so they said, right, Dave, we believe that there's an issue with forgiveness. And I said, oh, thank you. I said, but I don't think that's right. I said, I don't think there's anybody that I haven't forgiven. And they went, oh, right, no, we get these things wrong. And I said, yep, I think we are. Yeah, but thank you for your time. But then they kept pressing. And I think this is quite annoying. Because what I'd realized as well by here is that all the other cubicles had now were empty. And I was the only one left. And so these people were there and they were saying, do you think possibly there could be something in this? And as I sat there, tears started rolling down my face because a picture of a person I thought I'd forgiven was just so big in my window. And I realized in my heart that there was still so much pain and anger and frustration about this person. I thought I'd dealt with it. But God, through these godly people, was enabling me to see again that actually I needed to bring it before the Lord in prayer. Now, I know with forgiveness is complicated, because it's not as if you can just forgive and it's all done with. Sometimes it comes back into your system. It depends on the gravity of the pain that was caused in your life. But I thank God for being in a situation where people were daring to believe that God would speak to them and speak through them to be a blessing to me. As Sue and I came away from that weekend, my physical condition changed. My emotional situation completely improved. It was as if God was just healing me through the prophetic gifts of other people. Now, I know that some of you may have been burned with words of knowledge and prophecy. I've had some people say some absolutely outrageous things into my life. Things that were completely wrong. I remember one person saying something that was so outrageous, I wouldn't have been fit to be a minister. And so I said to them, I said, would you mind if I test that? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you mind, obviously I won't mention who you are, but do you mind if I mention what you've mentioned to a number of other people to see if that's true of me? And they went, well, all right then. And I did that, and there was no truth in it at all. And that's why within these verses, the emphasis on testing, on accountability, of actually, if we're going to use these supernatural gifts that God has given to us, we have to be accountable to one another. And when people aren't prepared to be accountable, you know that it cannot be of God. Because we have to be accountable. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up now. But I want us to be a people who expect to hear from God. And also, and please try this, ask God to say something to you that may be for somebody else. And that'll be really quite scary, but God loves to speak to his children. So, if we were going to summarize, I'd say that we need to long to listen to God's voice, allowing him to be our guide and our focus. Expect God to speak to us. Be prepared to be interrupted, which is a big problem for a lot of us. Live the adventure and be accountable. Shall we pray? Father, we want to live this adventure. We want to hear your voice. Help us to expect it more. And Father, we want to be used by you. We pray, Lord, that you might speak through us. Father, thank you for this remarkable privilege that we have of you longing to communicate with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to come and be with us, whether you're here in person or online. Thank you so much. Siona's prayer for each of you, as it is for us, is that we will hear from Jesus more clearly, and that people would see Jesus in us more clearly. Wouldn't that be a great testimony for this church? If you need prayer this morning, or if you feel that God has spoken to you and you want to share that, then please come and have a word with myself or another leader within the life of the church. But let's say the grace one to the another now, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.